استغفره ونعوذ بالله ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، من يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Abu Zayd took it upon himself to do the research concerning the issue of the kunut, and he made the kunut today before making the rukur of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before making the rukur, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam usually he used to make the kunut before making the rukur, but there were times when he would make the kunut after the rukur, and that was when he would make dua against the kuffar. If something happened, a Muslim was killed, if they did something to the Muslim, he would make the rukur and then he would come up and then he would make the kunut. So this is the way that the kunut is done. And then we found that when Abu Tasneem was leading us in Salat, sometimes he didn't make any kunut. All of this is from the Salat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. We notice in the prayer that we just made, when he made the kunut, the dua of the kunut, and he said Allahu Akbar in order to go into the rukur, some people in the second line were about to make the sajda. And that's because maybe one or two reasons. Maybe we're not taking our time to watch the people in the first line, because they are the sign for us. If you're not in the first line, you have to wait to see what's going on. So people anticipated that it was the sajda, and they went into the sajda, or they hit the ground, and the imam was in rukur. So maybe it was from anticipation, or the other reason can be from the Syrian food that we ate tonight, and people weren't paying attention. Allah knows best. Pay attention to the people in the first row, ikhwan. We want to continue bi-idhnillahi ta'ala concerning what we dealt with earlier about the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. But before continuing, some new points, we want to emphasize two points that were made earlier because of the importance and their significance. To be perfectly honest with you brothers and sisters, I don't know what was the system here at ICP 5 or 6 or 7 months ago. I don't know what the system was 2, 3, 4 years ago with the imam who preceded me. I don't know what the issue was as it relates to the concept of the Amir. I don't know. I didn't sit with anybody to say, tell me in detail how the people used to understand the Amirship and how they used to practice the Amirship 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. But now, in this particular administration, one of the points that I want to get across to all of you as you sit here, if Allah Azza wa Jalla was to take my soul tonight, as the brother was making dua concerning that, if our souls went back to Allah, we ask Allah to take them back as muwahideen. If Allah took my soul and I no longer was with you people, I would want you to understand from me the importance of the Amir or the leader in al-Islam. That it is not something that is for me or you to just determine that we're going to go about it the way we want to go about it. I'm going to disrespect it. I'm going to neglect it. I'm going to downplay it. I'm going to go overboard in it. The issue of the Amir is an institution in the religion of al-Islam. All of you are the rijal of this ummah. Every single man who is sitting here is a man of this ummah. Every woman is a woman of the ummah. Every child is a child of this ummah. We have a responsibility as it relates to this institution of the Amir in al-Islam. The Amir and the Amirship is a vital point. The Prophet, he told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning the importance of the Amir, And we have to emphasize this point. He said, "على المرء المسلم السمع والطاعة فيما يحب وفيما يكره." It is an obligation upon the Muslim man and the Muslim woman, the person who's a Muslim. It is an obligation to hear and to obey the leader in what you like and what you dislike. It is your duty and your obligation to obey the one who is in authority in what you like and what you dislike. The Arabs, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to detest the concept and the idea of someone being in authority over them. They used to hate it. So they used to die without anyone over them. And the Prophet described this death, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the death of the times of al-jahiliyyah. He told those people who lived with him, who had some problems of racism, he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Alaykum as-sama wa-ta'a, walau ta'amra alaykum abdun habashiyun ra'suhu kazabib." You people, I am telling you, he told the people who were with him, who were racist, he said to them, they had to get rid of the racist mentality. You have to listen and obey your leader, whoever becomes the leader over you, even if he is an Ethiopian slave whose head is like a raisin. This is mubalagha. This is one of the ways that the Prophet is telling the people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that thing that you hate with a passion, a man who's not even from your jinn, he's not even your color, he's not an Arab. He is an Ethiopian man who doesn't look like you, his color is different, and his head is like a raisin. You may even detest the way he looks. You have to obey him. That's mubalagha. This is one of the ways that the Prophet showed us the importance of this particular issue. So we want you brothers and you sisters to remember this. My family is here right now. My family, the people who I'm responsible for. I say to them, if the Amir of this community said to one of my family members, "Sister, I am designating you to be the first one to start tomorrow, put your name down," I'm telling my family, first and foremost, you should put your name down because that brother is the leader of the community. This is our religion. No one is giving me extra money. No one is telling me, say this. This is the religion of Al-Islam. Naji, Ibrahim, Ahmed, Brother Hamoud, all of us are responsible for obeying the leadership in Al-Islam. Fatima, Rashida, Amatullah, all of us are responsible for obeying the leadership in the religion of Al-Islam. The person, whether he is a man or a woman, who comes after understanding these ayat of the Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says or she says, "Well, I'm not listening to you." There's something wrong with that individual's understanding of the religion. So I'm happy, and I'm happy for two reasons. First reason is, had I been the Amir and I'm not the Amir, someone could sit there and they could say, he's saying that because he wants to be obeyed and listened to. No. I have to obey and listen to the one who is responsible for this community. The second thing as it relates to this particular issue is, the Amir has stood up and he said, this is the situation with the curtain. After that, there's no more room for discussion. There's no more room for discussion. It would be an indication of our backwardness, us being backward, if we continue to debate about this issue. Our community has a lot of goals and objectives that we need to put in place and realize them. How can we still be stuck on stupid retardation on the same issue? Is the curtain open? Is this curtain closed? My wife doesn't want the curtain open. The Amir said, the curtain is going to be open at this time, closed at that time. I'm going to tell my wife, take a back seat and obey the Amir. That's our religion. If she's sitting there discussing, debating, and arguing, no, I don't want it. Something is wrong with my wife, and something is wrong with me and my Amirship in my home. But the Amir, he does not have unconditional authority. If he told us, drink some khamr, we're going to say, "A'udhu billah, not drinking any khamr, ya akhi." If the Amir told us, kill yourselves or kill this other man, we're going to say, "A'udhu billah,
whether I agree with what he instituted or not, as long as it's not from the religion, I obey him. But if it's in disobedience to Allah, I do not obey him. If the husband orders the wife to disobey Allah, she doesn't obey. A group of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were on a trip, an expedition, like what happened with Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and his companions, radiallahu anhum. The Amir ordered them to do something and they didn't do it, and he became upset with a group of people. So he told the people, kindle a fire, make a big fire. So they made a big fire. He told the people, now I want you people to jump in the fire. Some of the people prepared to jump into the fire, obeying the Amir, because this is what the Prophet taught them. And this is what their understanding was. I'm going to jump into the fire because the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to obey the Amir. The other people said, I'm not jumping into the fire. We're trying to escape the fire. We don't want to go to Jahannam. So they stopped the other people from going into the fire. When they went to Medina, they told the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happened. The Prophet said to the people, had they jumped into the fire, they would have remained in the fire until Yomul Qiyamah. Verily, you should not obey the creation when it entails disobeying Allah. So we don't obey any human being when they are telling us to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the first issue that we want to emphasize. Murtada, Akhu Murtada, Yusuf, Abdullah, Salim, Uthman, Abu Abdullah, Abdul Ghani, it is our responsibility to obey the leader in Al-Islam. This is the religion of Al-Islam. Do we give him the bayah, the type of bayah that's in our necks? No, he's not that kind of an emir. And if we didn't have this institution, there's going to be confusion in the religion. In what you like and what you dislike, we just don't obey him in what is the ma'asiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second point that we want to emphasize from what was mentioned today is the praiseworthy position of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu when he refused to make any tasarruf and any harakah as it relates to what he had no knowledge about. We can't emphasize this issue enough, especially in the month like the month of Ramadan, where we have fatawa flying around the place like it's something that's cheap. The month of Ramadan, the woman breaks her fast because she's suckling. The woman breaks her fast because she has a baby. The brother breaks his fast because he is taking asthma medication. The person is taking insulin, but he's fasting. Someone is asked a question in this month of Ramadan where you have to know what you're talking about, and we're giving out fatwas. No, you don't have to fast. Yes, you have to fast. Oh, you have to pay this much money. Oh, your zakat should be like this. If you don't know, be quiet. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he could have easily said, look at the condition of my companions. They are poor. They are in need of food. Allah, he'll understand. This is our religion, the nature of our religion, the way it is that it makes things easy. We're going to at least cut up one sheep, at least one. He didn't say that. He said, we're not going to touch anything until we ask the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. That's the aqidah of the Muslim and the minhaj of the Muslim. Before he puts his foot down, he has to know, can my foot go there or is this quicksand? Can my foot go there or is this a trap? Like an alligator trap. When it snaps your ankle, it breaks it off. We had an email group, a couple of them, one from ICP and one from our sisters. Everyone who's dealing with those emails, you have to be careful of what you put out. Haram and halal, you have to be careful in the religion of Islam. Someone may take something and read it and based upon that make a judgment or a statement or an action that you will ultimately be responsible for. So be careful about this issue, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Muslims, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Do not stop. Do not talk. Do not deal with those things about which you have no knowledge. Do not delve into those things that you have no knowledge about those particular issues. From this hadith, ikhwan, and this is another very important point that we want to mention, from the bab of Ad-Din al-Nasiha, is that this hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, it shows the virtues of the Amir being fair and the Amir being just. Some people, when they hear you talking about what the Quran and the Sunnah tells us, the Ra'iya, the Mahkum, Islam tells us those who are being judged. Islam tells us to be patient with the oppression of the leader. So when you say that, some people understand that you're trying to put the people to sleep so that the Amir can oppress the people and live high in life. That's not what we're saying. The Amir should be just. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he could have easily said, I'm the Amir, I'm going to keep all of the animals. I'm the Amir, I'm going to keep 15 and I give you guys 15, you 29 people, split it between yourselves. He could have said that. They would have had to listen to him and obey him, even though with some asra against them. He could have said that. He could have said, I'm the one who came up with the idea, I read the Quran, so it was all for my efforts, I'm keeping everything. But he didn't. He made the wafa. He took care of his promise. We'll read for you if you give us the animals. So they gave him 30 animals, one for each man. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri gave everyone his animal, showing what? That the Amir should be just and the Amir should be fair. Just to give you an indication of the seriousness of the Amirship in Al-Islam. That position that some of us think is an easy position, or some of us think we covet the position, we want the position. People are drunk, they want the title. The Messenger of Allah, he told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now listen to this. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrated this hadith that's been collected by Imam Ahmed. Ma min amir ashratin illa yu'ta bihi yawm al-qiyama maghlulan la yafukuhu illa al-adl. There is not a person who will be responsible for 10 people except that that person will be brought yawm al-qiyama and he will be tied up. He will be in chains. And nothing will free him from those chains except justice. Was he just? Some of us don't have to deal with that issue. If you are an Amir over 10 people, your duty is to come yawm al-qiyamah in chains, automatically. And you won't be free from those chains except with a person being just. Who wants to stand before Allah? Who wants to desire that type of responsibility? I prefer to be a helper. I prefer to be in a position of being mahkum, someone over me, not in charge. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, on the authority of Ma'qil ibn Yasar, radiallahu anhu, ma min abdin yastar'ihi Allahu azza wa jal, yamut yawma yamut, wa huwa ghash ra'iyatihi, illa harrama Allahu ta'ala alayhi al-jannah. This hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. There is not a slave who is responsible for a group of people. He dies on the day that he dies, and he cheated the people. He was stealing the money. He was putting his desires and what he wanted before the good of the community. He cheated the people. Whoever this is his case, Allah has made haram for him al-Jannah. Allah made haram the Jannah upon the Ahl al-Kitab. He made haram the Jannah upon the Munafiqeen. The Jannah is haram upon Shaytan, upon Fir'aun. The Jannah is also haram upon the man who's responsible for the Muslims and he cheats them. Who wants to be in that position? Not an easy position. So it's clear why we need to be helping people. Why we need to be giving advice to the Amir and supporting the people on the position of leadership. From the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have the statement of Allah azza wa jal, وَالَّذِينَ إِن مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَمَرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنَهُوا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَلِلَّهِ عَاقِبَةُ الْأُمُورِ. Those people, the umara, the one who's in charge, when we give them power, we make them the Amir. We brought the means and the ways so that when he speaks, the people have to listen to him. Allah gave him the tamkeen. When they come in control, what do? They establish the salah, they give the zakah, they enjoin the good, they prevent the evil. And to Allah belongs the end of all of the affairs. So when we find that we have an emir who's trying to establish the salah and do good by the people and do good for the religion, it's our responsibility to stand behind that individual and to support. That's the religion of al-Islam. If the emir chooses to put a hijab, a cover, he closes the door between his people who he's responsible for and himself, Allah will close between him also. Allah will put a hijab between Allah and that individual, yawmul qiyamah. And Allah will not open up the doors of rahmah for that individual. So it's a serious matter, ikhwan. So we want to emphasize this point. The emir has to be just, and there are people in the community who have the ability because they have the ear of the emir. They have the emir's ear. So we give him advice. But don't be of those shayateen, the people who don't understand this concept. It's a serious concept. From the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri that we want to share with you, ikhwan, and this is something to help you in your daily lives, is that this hadith shows us the comprehensive nature of al-Islam and that it goes along with the natural disposition of the human being. This hadith shows us that if you came across something that you found, you think that it's halal, but you're not sure. The zahir of it is that it's halal, but you're not sure. It is permissible for you to take that thing until you find out later what's the hukum. Just don't use it. If you're in the street and you found $5,000 and you're a Muslim who's trying to do the right thing, you're not going to say, that's not my money, I'm going to leave it there and keep walking and leave it for the next man to come get it. In Islam, you can pick the $5,000 up, but you don't use it. You first find out, does it belong to the Muslims? Announce it for a year in al-Islam. And then you try to find out, does it belong to an old Catholic lady? And if you find out, no, keep the money and go on to good cheer. Anything that you find that you don't know who it belongs to, you can pick it up, you can take it. If it's out in the middle of somewhere, you can do that. You don't have to say maybe they're going to come back. Just don't use that particular thing. You should pick it up. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came upon a date, one date, in the street. He picked up the date and he was about to eat it. And then he prevented himself from eating it. He stopped. He said to his companions, had it not been for the fact that I was afraid that it was from sadaqah, I would have eaten it. So he took the date and he put it in the Bayt al-Mal. He didn't wait to see who dropped the date. Is a poor person going to come and pick the date up? The thing is, if you have something that is haram and you don't know, or you have something you don't know the ruling, don't move on it until you find out what is the hukum in the religion before you utilize that particular thing. Another very important point, because we're dealing with this here today. This is something that we're dealing with in the decisions that have to be made. When you run a community, there are decisions. Some people like those decisions and other people don't. But again, if the people in leadership make the decision, you should get behind and you should support. If you're one of those people who you want to voice your opinion, don't do it in public. Go and give the people in charge your advice. I don't think that's a smart decision because A, B, and C. From this hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, we're dealing with this. So don't let anyone be in any doubt or be mutarif about this decision. When those people refuse to give the hospitality to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they came back to the Prophet's companions sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to seek from them some assistance, they said, okay, but we're going to do it conditionally. If you don't agree to the condition, we're not going to deal with you. Our condition, since you did not treat us well, we're going to treat you a certain way. And we're not going to pay attention to you telling us we're hiding the knowledge, that we're not being cooperative, that we're not helping. When they dealt with the companions a certain way, the companions dealt with them a certain way, based upon the way they were dealing with the companions. The companions did not initiate bad conduct or being rough or tough. The shidda didn't come from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when they received the shidda from those people's behavior, and then the companions turned around and paid them back, the companions did not hesitate, nor did they feel bad about that position. This is our religion. Someone is slapping you in the face, slapping you in the face. Our religion does not tell us, keep giving them the other cheek, and you're going back and forth like this, getting slapped in the face. If you don't take a stance in a position, you're going to be treated disrespectfully forever. So the hadith shows, as people do unto you, you can do back to them, just do not make the i'tidal. Do not go overboard when you pay them back. If they fight you at the Masjid al-Haram, then you fight them back at the Masjid al-Haram. But don't start. What happens? We're at the Kaaba and the Kuffar are going to kill a Muslim, and we're going to say, this is a month that is sacred. We're not going to fight them back. This is the Balad al-Haram. We're not going to fight them back. No. If they deal with you like that, then you are allowed in this religion to deal back with them. There's some wisdom in that. Whether you understand it or not, whether I understand it or not, there's some wisdom in that. So get behind supporting the wisdom of what Allah has legislated and allowed in His religion. Everything is not like a rainbow in this life. You have some people who understand and they're easy and they can get along. Then you have other people who don't understand and problems are created as a result of that. The last thing that we want to mention, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala, is that this hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, it shows us, ikhwan, the permissibility of using the Qur'an and making money off of the Qur'an. You can take the Qur'an and you can make money off of the Qur'an. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhumah, he said that he heard the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَحَقُّ مَا أَخَذْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. The thing that you took money for, a reward, you took money and you received payment, that has more rights than anything else, is the Book of Allah. So it is permissible if we brought someone to read the Qur'an for us in the month of Ramadan, that we're going to pay him a salary. He's going to teach our children how to read the Qur'an. We're going to pay him a salary. Nothing is wrong with that. You can sell the Qur'an and make money off of the Qur'an. The man can take the Qur'an as it happened with the companion. He married the woman and her dowry was what he knew from the Qur'an. Praise the monetary value. I'll teach her from the Qur'an this surah and that surah and that surah and so forth and so on. Some people are of the opinion that you cannot use the Qur'an. If someone comes and he teaches our children for the Qur'an, he should do it on a volunteer basis. Why? Because teaching the Qur'an is ibadah. And Allah rewards the ibadah. In the madhhab of the Ahnaf, they have a nice madhhab in this particular issue. Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala's position was that you can take money from the Qur'an if you did ruqya. If you're raqi, you're a person who knows how to read. So you read on someone, you can take a value, you can take money. But to teach the Qur'an, Abu Hanifa was of the opinion, no, you shouldn't teach the Qur'an, because we have a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke unfavorably about the people who make the azan for money, and they teach the Qur'an for money. So how do we make the tawfiq between the two issues? We make the tawfiq between the two issues in that a person does not use the Qur'an as a way to get over, to take advantage of people. He's reading the Qur'an at the dead man's wake, at the ta'ziyah, when we come to give the ta'ziyah, he's reading the Qur'an at the grave. Do not sell Allah's ayat for a miserable price, as the Jews used to do. وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا آيَاتِي بِثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Do not sell my signs for a miserable price, reading the Quran and making money and using it in order to trick the people and get their money. This is what is not permissible. But teaching the book of Allah, how else did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam survive other than from the sadaqat of the people because of what he was teaching them, and also from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with, the jihad. So as we started, we end. As we started, we end. Every woman who is a married woman should respect the leadership of her husband in the home. When we come out of the home and we come to the masjid, there is a leader and leadership. It's our job and it's our obligation to get behind it and to respect it. And this is our deen. This is our religion. Like it who likes it, hate it who hates it. But we're all the people of Iman, inshallah. And with that being the case, we know that all of us say we hear and we obey. And you brothers bear witness. And I cause Allah to bear witness. Wa kafa billahi shahida. I say to my family, obey the leadership of this masjid. In my absence, if the Amir of this community said, do this or do that, my family is responsible for obeying that. So that's your job and that's your responsibility, that we work on our family members, that we obey the authority in what is from the religion. What's not from the religion, we don't obey them. We come together and we say we're not going to obey what is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is the most knowledgeable and the most high. We're not going to take any questions now because I have a headache, Syrian fool. So inshallah, I want to remind the brothers from the shore, tomorrow we have a meeting from ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.